Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is What Refining Looks Like. Today is Thursday, August 2nd, 2018. Because we know so many are entering into times of refining, we need to really understand what refining is, what it does, and what it may look like in your life. That way we'll recognize it when it shows up and we'll work with God and not against Him in the process. If you work against Him, you'll only be in the wilderness longer. In the times of refining coming, I think it stands to reason people will be refined the ways that they have been refined in the past, simply because those ways work, because those ways bring the results the Lord wants to see. The Israelites were led from their homes to the hot, barren desert. The desert is a place of no comfort. It's too hot during the daytime, too cold at night. They were among scorpions and snakes. There's very little water and almost no food at all. So, does that mean we're going to lose our comforts? I think we definitely will. Why? Number one, our lack of comfort forces us to focus not on relaxing or enjoyments of the flesh, but on Him. Our lack of comfort eventually produces a desperation for His comfort. And extended periods of lack of comfort will force us to turn to the Comforter of our souls for comfort, which is what He wants. In some of my darkest hardships, the moments of total desperation are when I got to know my Lord as my Comforter. I even felt His feathers cover me once early in my walk on a dark night of my soul before I ever knew this verse. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's Psalm 91:4. And in that dark night, and for months afterwards, as I walked out that difficult journey, He did comfort me, and He reassured me again and again through His word. There are some crises, some events that are so painful, nobody but the Lord can comfort you. But it's in our weakness that His strength is so clearly evident. As we faint in our minds from the pain and brokenness of what is happening, He rises up in our spirits and reminds us to praise Him, to thank Him for the blessings that are still so evident in our lives, no matter what has been taken away. He reminds us that this too shall pass. If we will just hold our heads up as best we can and keep putting one foot in front of another, this pain will pass. When we have miscarried that baby so greatly longed for, when a child has gone astray and is facing prison, when our spouse has chosen the affections of another over us, when a long-held dream comes crashing down and there is nothing we can do now to make it come true, when someone irreplaceable in our lives dies and we are left alone in this dark world to try to get through each day without them, when people we care about walk away with no explanation, when friends leave us when we need them most, so many situations break our hearts as we try to make our way in a world that is not our home, that there is just no remedy for. We struggle to understand what is happening and why it's happening to us when we try to do the right thing. Many people refuse to believe in the Lord because of the injustices in the world that they have laid to His account. But though all these things break our heart irrevocably, He has promised to work them for good in our lives as He comforts us through them. He has promised He will love us and never forsake us, to be ever present with us as we walk these dark and unfamiliar roads, otherwise alone. We don't always get the answers to why bad things happened in our lives, but He has promised us crowns and rewards and eternal life if we will face the test and pass them in spite of our pain. And He is there, ever interceding on our behalf and cheering us on each time we make a right choice. Are we going to be in lack In the times coming, in the wilderness? You bet. Why? Well, what does lack do? Lack gives us compassion for others in need. Lack forces us to turn to Him as our provider when we have exhausted all our other means. Only real lack can teach us how to be totally dependent on God. There is no other way to learn that. Are we going to be persecuted? You better believe we are. The Word says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's 2 Timothy 3:12. Well, what does persecution do? It toughens our skin against others' unbelief. It makes us more resolute in our faith. It sort of hardens our faith like a rock so that in future persecutions, we shall not be moved. How important do you think that is in what is coming? Let me tell you something. When you're really, really hungry, and I don't mean hungry like you missed lunch. I mean hungry like you haven't eaten in 3 weeks. That mark is going to look real good. Going to McDonald's for a burger and fries is going to look real good, okay? You better be strong in your faith, because I'm sure that there's lots of peer pressure going to come with the, you know, oh, well, you're not going to be able to buy and sell if you don't do this, because we're not going to let you. Just think about that. If your faith is not strong, whatever else around you is strong, whether that be your appetites, the appetites of your flesh, or whatever, that's what's going to win. Whatever is strongest is what is going to win. So, refining to me looks a lot like when you're training a child. Mom, what? Can I have some cookies before lunch? No, that will ruin your appetite. An hour later. Mom, what? Can I have some cookies before lunch? Silence. Very important note. The teacher is always silent during the test. Remember this. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. I have noticed the Lord often will not answer me on anything. Number one, He has already told me the answer to. Number two, on anything I know the answer to, but I'm hoping for a different answer. Or number three, on anything His Word gives me the answer on, but I just don't want to go research it. Mom, more silence. Okay, Mom, if you don't answer, I will assume it's okay for me to have some cookies before lunch. More silence. Then she hears the cookie jar lid rattle. Punishment for disobedience follows. Mom had already answered. The child just wanted a different answer and was willing to compromise what he knew he should do to get what he wanted. That's a word for somebody. The Lord says you are willing to compromise what you know you should do to get what you want. Be very careful. That is a minefield that is going to blow up in your face. This is just one example of what testing in the wilderness often looks like. You see something or someone that looks comforting, and you're in the place of no comfort. Let's remember where we are. We're in the wilderness. We're in the fiery desert. It's all barren around us. We don't know what's happened to our life. We're miserable. We're uncomfortable. We don't know where we're going. We can't go back to where we came from. We don't know what to do. It's like hanging off a cliff. You don't know what's going to happen next. So you're in the wilderness and you see something or someone that looks comforting. So you start asking for it. Well, He's already told you no. No, I don't want you in a relationship. No, I don't want you in a relationship with that person. Or I want you to just focus on me right now. But when you don't hear Him answer, you still reach for the cookie jar. Just to see if maybe you can still have what you want with no consequences. But it never really works out that way, does it? There are always consequences. And the worst ones don't happen right away. Punishment for disobedience follows because He needs you to learn to be obedient, not only for Him, but for you. Because disobedience swings wide the gates of hell and unleashes consequences in your life you are not going to want to deal with. Disobedience lets the enemy into your home, into your relationships, into your finances. Is that really what you want? Are those cookies really that good? So each time you flunk that test, you have to stay longer in the wilderness because you need to be able to pass the test several times in a row until it becomes kind of automatic in order to get out. And you are being tested on more than one thing at a time while you're walking through that fiery desert. Remember the Israelites. Only when we are refined and stop acting like spoiled brats who throw tantrums when we don't get our way and who keep reaching for the cookie jar can we really bring him glory. Our refinement is what glorifies the Lord. If you want a part of the Bible to look at concerning refining, look at Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read you the first 11 verses here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And let me just pause for a second and say, gee, I wonder if that was Job's friends. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Remember, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. A teenage kid gets prideful and too big for his britches, as we call it in Texas, suddenly thinking he can do everything for himself. Do y'all remember when you were a teenager and you knew everything? Because I remember when I was. He don't need no parents telling him what to do. So dad withdraws, watching silently as he goes about trying to do everything himself, and watches as he gets overwhelmed and begins to realize he can't do it all, and sure can't do it all alone. Dad watches, waiting for him to get it, before the teen finally comes running to his father for help. Another unruly teenager is trying to find his path in life. One evening, he decides a local gang member is the person he most wants to emulate. The guy is cool, he's clever, he's always got a pocket full of cash, and he seems to have it all together. Plus, he's getting all the girls. Surely this is his path. His dad tries to show him that's a bad path and will have a bad outcome, but all his warnings and promises of punishment fall on deaf ears. So dad steps back and watches, silently, as the gang member leads the young man into drugs, then crime, into destruction. Finally, the young man realizes his dad was right all along. This guy isn't his friend at all. All he's doing is leading him into trouble. The young man finally runs to dad for help. Of course, by then, everything in his life is a huge mess. A potty training toddler pouts, deciding he does not want to do all this work. He wants things to go back the way they were, where everything was done for him and he didn't have to put out any effort. He liked it just fine then. This is too hard. He wants to go back to Egypt. So dad picks him up, puts him in his crib on a timeout where he lies in his own mess until he finally decides maybe doing it dad's way is worth the effort after all. All of these little stories of child rearing are examples of what it looks like when we are in the wilderness making wrong choices. Everyone faces similar tests as they are being refined. The Israelites face these same kind of tests. How soon, how easily, and how often we pass them with a right heart is what determines when we will get out. I say with a right heart, because God just doesn't just want our behavior right. He wants our hearts right, because he tries our heart and our reins. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. That word translated reins there means affections. So God tries our hearts and our affections. Everyone is called to follow Jesus. He said, take up your cross and follow me. But not everyone is chosen. If you want to be one of the chosen, you have to pass the test. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. It is when you are there in the wilderness and you refuse to run from the furnace of affliction, because you love God too much to let go. You love him too much to run back to Egypt. You love him too much to hold on to your sin. It is there that he chooses you. And when you can stand in that fire with darts flying at you from all around, with Job's friends screaming doubt at you from every corner, when you can stand there and say, I'm not moving, Lord, I refuse to let go until you bless me, that is when you become the chosen. And in that moment, it don't matter what side of the tracks you're from. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're beautiful or so homely people can barely stand to look at you. It won't matter they rejected you. It won't matter he left you. It won't matter that you lost the house, because he chooses you. And when that happens, the world will fall away from you because you cease to care about it, and nothing else will matter. And the attacks can't touch you because he becomes your shield. He becomes your world. And you know that whatever happens, it will always be second to this, because he chose you. And that is the other purpose of the wilderness, to draw you into deep intimacy with him, to help you fall more in love with him every day as he guides you and provides for you and teaches you about himself. I hope that this has been helpful to y'all. I have 4 prayers that I've recorded for you that I'm going to post on the prayers tab that I hope are also helpful to you. I get a lot of requests for prayers, and I found that people are using the prayers tab, so I'm trying to add to it things that are useful to you. I have 4 prayers to share with you. The first one is a prayer of general blessing. I wrote it as a prayer that you can say over yourself, but you could change it, and where it says me, you could just say someone else's name or you, if you're, you know, standing in front of somebody praying it for them or over the phone praying it for them. Okay, so here is the prayer of general blessing. Lord, I praise you that you bless and keep me every day. Thank you, Lord, for making your face to shine upon me and for being so very gracious to me. Thank you for lifting up your countenance upon me and giving me your peace. Thank you, Lord, that your word says you will supply my every need and lead me on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I thank you, Lord, that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I will not be afraid, even if 10,000s of people have set themselves against me round about. Lord, I declare you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, in whom I trust. I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Thank you for protecting me from secret traps and from deadly diseases. Thank you for protecting me from sudden destruction, from terroristic attacks, and from abusive people. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked. I make you my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. I know you have given your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I praise you, Lord, that you spread your wings out over me, and I am safe from all harm as I serve you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a shield to me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Wherever I am, you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Okay, the second prayer is a prayer for those who are in lack. Lord, your word says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give into your bosom. I have given, Lord, as you have led me to give. And I praise you that now it is given back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Lord, I bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in your house. I am believing you now to open for me the windows of heaven and pour me out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Lord, I commit my way to you. I trust in you. I am trusting you know where my provision is and how to bring it to me. You are a mighty God and well able to provide for all your children, just as you did in the desert for the Israelites thousands of years ago. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all my need. Lord, your word declares, if you are my shepherd, I shall not be in lack. You are my shepherd because I go wherever you lead me. Thank you that I am not in lack, but I live in abundance. I will be still and know that you are God, Lord, and when I have done all I know to do. Thank you, Lord, for caring for your children and providing for all of us so well. Amen. Okay, this third prayer is a prayer that I've had many requests for. It's a prayer against slanderous attacks. When people are slandering you, they're saying things about you that are not true or spreading gossip about you, that sort of thing. Before praying this prayer, search your heart and make sure that you have not been slandering anyone else. Because if you have, a slanderous attack could be you reaping, because we reap what we sow. Whenever you slander or gossip, you are sowing seeds of slander and gossip. And if those spring up into a harvest, there's not really too much you can do about that because you have to reap what you sow. But if you have not been slandering and you're not reaping, then you will be able to cancel the attack with this prayer. And by the way, one of the ways that you can prepare for all that is coming is to learn how to pray God's word back to him. So these prayers are great practice for that. In the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I cancel every assignment of slander and discredit and humiliation that has been sent against me. I crush these assignments under my feet and render them powerless. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, I bind and gag every demon assigned under these assignments of slander, discredit, and humiliation that have been sent against me right now. I stab them with my sword and I kick them over into the fire pit in the abyss, never to return to me again, in Jesus' name. Lord, I turn everything else about these slanderous attacks over to you. Please give me the strength and humility to keep my side of the street clean by not retaliating against these vicious attacks on me. I know if I defend myself, you will not defend me, so I leave this in your capable hands. I declare that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, because the word of the Lord says, this is my heritage, in Jesus' name. I declare this slander falls to the ground and becomes as naught, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for restoring to me everything these assignments have taken away and more besides. Thank you. I know from your word that my mind will stay in perfect peace as long as I keep it stayed on you. Amen. Okay, this fourth prayer is a prayer for survival in the end times. Lord, I praise you that your thoughts towards me are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. I am so thankful, Lord, that your word says your angels are encamped all around those who fear you, and they deliver us. I praise you, Lord, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against me in judgment I shall condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not fear, for you are with me. I will not be dismayed, for you, the mighty Jehovah, are my God. I know you will strengthen me. You will help me. You will uphold me with your righteous right hand. And I know the sufferings of this time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in me, Lord, and my hope is in you. I will be strong. I will be of good courage. I know you, my God, are with me wherever I go. Lord, I'm so glad your word says I can call upon you in my day of trouble, and you will deliver me, and I will glorify you. You, Lord God, are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God in whom I trust. I will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day. I will not fear the pestilence that walks in darkness or the destruction that wastes at noonday. I know you are protecting me, Lord, until I come home to you. Among all the gods, O Lord, there is none like you. There is no other God that can do what you can do. And I know you are well able to keep me alive during this terrible time that I may glorify you and witness of your great love and mercy. I praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, I just wanted to share these four prayers with y'all. I will get them uploaded to the prayers tab so you can copy them if you want. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com.